It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome to the It's Never Too Late show with Monica Topetti, your guest host. And today I'm turning the tables and interviewing Suzanne Oshima. She's a life and love transformational coach with your next amazing story. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Monica. I'm so excited to have the tables turned on me and have you interview me.
Yes, I am so excited to dive into today's topic, which is what's holding you back from finding love again? But before we get into it, Suzanne, can you share with our audience exactly who you serve and why?
Yeah, so I help single women in midlife transform midlife into their best life and find love again in their next chapter. And the reason why I do is because it breaks my heart when women in midlife feel like, oh, it's too late for me, when I know whatever you want in life, whether it's finding love again or doing something new in your life, that it's truly never too late.
For sure, for sure. Well, I think we're all in the right place to get a little bit more perspective on today's topic about, you know, finding love again. And when we first discussed what we were going to talk about, you know, I thought about a lot of my friends who may have, you know, broken up with somebody after a long-term relationship or maybe even divorced. And, you know, for a lot of women, getting back out there again can be really scary. Yeah. So, you know, some of these women haven't even dated maybe in like 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you think is the biggest obstacle women find when they're getting back out there again?
Well, it's exactly what you talked about, Monica. It's, you know, they're scared. And the fear that's coming up for them, and that's totally normal, by the way, to have that fear come up for them. Because, you know, if you haven't dated in 20, 30 years, maybe online dating didn't exist back when you were single, right?
Right.
And so you're going out there and you're like, oh God, I have to do this new thing that I've never done. And I feel like I'm putting myself out there. And of course, it's going to feel a little scary. So just know, first of all, that your fear is normal. And when we're about to step outside our comfort zone and start to change our lives, right, we're going to feel that sense of, oh my God, am I doing the right thing? What should I be doing? And who do I ask, right?
And, you know, I think a lot of women don't know where to go. So they have maybe some friends that are single, and maybe they've been single for a while and dating. So they've kind of got it down, and, you know, they'll just say, oh, just go on a dating app. And then, you know, there's other single women that maybe have married friends, and their married friends, you know, they haven't been out there, so they're not exactly sure. What do you find are some of the typical ways women try and navigate or maybe go to some sources that aren't the most helpful to get back out there again and figure out how to do it?
Well, that's a really great point is, you know, you asking your friends that have been married for 20, 30 years also and haven't dated in that same amount of time, they're probably not going to be the best source of information because they haven't actually done it themselves, right?
Yeah, right.
And if you're going to ask some, like, your adult children, right, who are in their 20s and 30s,
yes,
who are out there dating, they're going to give you advice from their perspective, right? And what I mean is what it's like to date in your 20s and 30s, which, Monica, I mean, let's just be real. Dating in your 20s and 30s is very different than dating in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know,
sure,
and beyond. So it's important to realize what works in your 20s and 30s does not work in midlife. It's we have to approach dating a lot differently. And if you're scared, you know, it's important to do the research before you just throw up a profile online, and so that you know what works and what doesn't work.
What about the woman that's like, she wants to get out there, but she's just, you know, petrified? What advice do you have to get a woman kind of out of her head, out of her heart, and take that first step?
Stop thinking too much. Because when we start to think too much, then we start to become paralyzed, because then we start thinking so much about, oh, all the things that could go wrong, and, you know, it's not going to work for me. And then other fears come up, like the fear of rejection and all of these things that can come up, or it just popped into my head, is the fear of getting your heart broken again, right? And so sometimes what we'll do is we'll just stand there and go, okay, I can't move because now I'm scared. And then you're not moving forward though, right?
Right, right. So get out of your head. That's a really good step. How do you get out of your head? I mean, I know for me, when I have a challenge or any kind of problem and I kind of keep thinking it over and over again. And I know I've talked to, you know, some of my friends that are recently divorced and contemplating getting back out there again. And they, all they do is kind of go through like worst case scenarios. You know, what if I do this and I get rejected? What if I do this? Nobody swipes, you know, left or right. What if, you know, what ifs? And so they get stuck in this kind of this loop, this mental thought. Do you have any practical tips for women to kind of like shake themselves out of that and kind of get more into action?
You know, it's really funny that you say that, because I was just thinking that as you were talking, I was like, she's stuck in a loop,
yeah.
Right? Going around and around of what if nobody swipes right? What if nobody contacts me? And by the way, those same thoughts run through all of my clients' head, but it's about getting the support you need to help you work through that. So here's the thing. Could all of those things happen? Yes. But you know that saying, looking at the glass half empty versus half full? To me, that's looking at the glass half empty, because you're looking at everything negative that could happen, right?
Yes.
And if you look at the glass half full, what if I found love again? What if I met a man who was a great partner for me, who treated me so well, made me feel amazing, really made me feel like I had a partnership with him and I could share life experiences with the rest of my life with him? So what if, right?
Yeah.
I found that instead of looking at all the negative, because here's what I know is, you can say, go down the path of what if, you know, I get rejected, I get my heart broken, and then you don't move forward. So what I can guarantee is if you don't move forward and put yourself out there, right, is I can guarantee that you won't find love again.
Great point. I love that idea of, because I'm a what-if-er. And I love the idea of playing the what if game, but only giving positive outcomes. So instead of saying, what if I get rejected? It's what if I have more dates than I know what to do with? Instead of thinking, what if I go on a date and I don't know what to say on my date? What if the guy that I'm with, the man that I'm with, thinks I'm like the best conversationalist ever? And kind of flipping it on its head and playing the positive what if game. I don't think a lot of people think to do that. But if you're naturally like a thinker, you're already kind of in that habit. So why not flip it on its head and focus on the positive? I love that. That's a great tip.
And you know, when you were just sharing, Monica, about those things, like those specific examples, you know what popped into my head is, it's not just about the what ifs. This is about the inner foundational piece of building up your self-confidence, your self-esteem, and knowing your self-worth. Because if you have that confidence in yourself, if a man disappears, if a man says, you know what, you're not the right woman for me, you're going to go, that's okay. I know the right man is out there, right? Instead of going, I'm not enough. No, I am enough, but he's just the wrong person for me. Or like how you talked about showing up on a first date, right? And being a great conversationalist. How about you just show up authentically as yourself? Right? Like how you would show up if you and I, Monica, just got together for lunch. You and I would have a great conversation, right? I'm not going to get all in my head and go, oh gosh, what am I going to say to Monica? Am I going to be, you know, is she going to enjoy her time with me? I'm just going to show up authentically as me. And we're going to get along great. And even if we're not for right for each other, right, as if I was on a date with the man, if we're not right for each other, I'm just going to enjoy the time as I met somebody new.
Right. You know, I know authenticity is a big buzzword right now. A lot of people are talking about that. And I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about a lot of women when they find themselves in a change of status, whether that's they've broken up with somebody in a long-term relationship, they're divorced, is that it's a refocus on themselves and who they are when they're not in relationship. And so can you speak a little bit to how a woman can kind of tap back into her authenticity and kind of finding herself again and who she really is outside of relationship?
You know, it's really interesting that you brought that up, because it's true. As women in midlife, you know, if you're coming out of a divorce, or maybe you're widowed, or you've been in a long-term relationship, say for 10 years, and you have children, right? And we as women, we're always the caregiver, right? We're always taking care of everyone else, making sure their needs are met. And your ex, you probably made sure his needs were met, of course, because that's who we are. But then when we start to step out and get out there and date to find love again, sometimes for some people, it can be really hard to step into the spotlight, right? Focus on me, and I'm going to take the time for me. And when you go out on dates, or if you start dating someone, when a man starts to want to do things for you, sometimes for some of my clients, it can make them feel uncomfortable, because they're so used to taking care of the children, taking care of aging parents or their ex-husband or ex-boyfriend. And so then when the focus comes on her, sometimes it can feel like, oh God, what? Like, I'm a little uncomfortable, you know, at being put on a pedestal and being treated a certain way. And it's important. It's super important for women to remember that in relationships or in dating, it's important to give, but you have to also be able to receive. Like giving, I don't know if a lot of women realize this, giving is in the masculine and receiving is in the feminine.
Okay.
And so we as women who are really good givers, and I have been guilty of this, is we can be really good at giving, but when it comes to having people, and I'm not just talking about men, I'm talking in general, is when people try to do things for us, sometimes it can make us feel a little uncomfortable.
Wow, but that's really tapping into the feminine side, is to be able to receive. And it's so interesting that you bring that up, because it seems like all of our lives we've been taught as women to be nurturers and to be giving, but really that's tapping into our masculine, which is probably a topic for a whole other podcast about men and women and giving and receiving and how we should best show up for men in our relationships. But that's such a huge shift, not only to start receiving, but then also to be able to, you know, give to ourselves, like you said, because we're so focused on others.
Yeah.
It's kind of an uncomfortable place to be in for a lot of us.
It is. It is, but it's important if you want a relationship to work, it's important to be able to receive, because what a lot of women forget sometimes is that all a man wants to do is make you happy. And the way he does that is by doing things for you, giving to you. And if you feel uncomfortable receiving, then that's where we need to look inward and figure out, why is that uncomfortable for you? What's coming up for you? Could it be a self-worth issue?
Right.
Maybe. Or maybe when she was growing up, like, her parents maybe told her, like, you're not worthy, right?
Right.
So you never know what could be going on, but, you know, it's funny because you could sit there and say to a woman, just receive, just receive.
Yeah.
It's usually a little bit deeper than that.
Right.
Of why it's so hard for a woman to receive. But if you do have a hard time receiving, I invite women to really take a step back and ask yourself and do some deep work to figure out why it's so hard for you to receive.
Yes. So I'm assuming that, you know, when a woman says, I'm afraid to get back out there, we're probably talking about not just one type of fear. Sometimes it's, you know, fear of being rejected. Sometimes it's fear of having the spotlight on you. Sometimes it's fear of maybe being in a role like receiving that you're not, you know, typically comfortable with. Are there any other major fears that you find among women, you know, looking for love again?
Yeah, it's a fear of stepping out of your routine.
Oh.
So here's what I find is as we age gracefully into midlife, right? We've also come accustomed to a routine.
Sure.
Everybody likes a routine of some sort. Some people are more into routines than others. Some people are more like, you know, just live in the moment.
Right.
But most of us have a pretty set routine by now, right? Day
right.
in and day out. And the problem, though, becomes is that sometimes we can get so stuck in our routine that we don't like to change.
Mm.
And when we don't change, we're not growing.
Yes.
And evolving and experiencing other things in our life. And so then what can happen is the fear of, as she starts to put herself out there to date, the fear, mm-hmm. and she starts to meet men, like let's just say she
right.
puts herself out there on an online dating site, she starts to meet men, and
right.
then she sets up the first date because, or they set up the first date because things are going really well in conversation,
mm-hmm.
is then what can happen is that all of a sudden she starts telling herself a story. A story of, oh, you know, his lifestyle is not going to work with mine. You know, we're too different. He likes to do all these things and I'm not into camping. So it's probably not going to work. And so before she's even gotten to the first date, she's already pretty much talked herself out of the date and him. Because
wow.
she can't see their routines working together.
Wow. So is that something that's like unconscious? She's kind of trying to sabotage the relationship so she doesn't have to change?
I think it's both, actually. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I think it's both. She's doing it consciously, but then there's an underlying current within her that she doesn't want to change her routine. And she's like, no, that makes me really uncomfortable. I like my routine. And I don't
yeah.
want... So, and here's another thing that can be scary for women is now that I've gotten so accustomed to my routine day in and day out, I don't know if I could have a man live in my place because
oh, yeah.
that's going to mess everything up.
Oh my gosh,
up.
Forget it. Unless
right.
you've got two bathrooms. Yeah.
So that's where she could sabotage herself, even though she's telling herself in her head, I really want to find love again, right? I really want a life partner to share life experiences with. But then... again, she gets all in her head and she starts going down the rabbit hole of every reason why it can't work.
Right. Right. You know, I know in a lot of my friends who are single, male and female, when I talk to them about what they're looking for in, you know, a companion, whether that's marriage or just somebody, you know, to share their life with, they inevitably tell me the same thing. And that's, Monica, I want someone who's going to take care of me this time. Monica, I want somebody that's going to fit into my life and what I like to do. What, unless you find somebody that's like a clone of you, how do you make that work? How do you work with clients like that?
So if the example that you gave, so mm-hmm. I just want to dissect this a little bit because this is super important. So Is it the women that are saying they want someone to take care of them this time? And
both the men and the women.
Okay. So, yeah. But let's talk about the women, because that's who my audience is.
Sure.
So when a woman says that, and a lot of my clients say that, they're strong, independent women, and they're like, man, I've been taking the lead at my job or my business, right? And I've been taking the lead in the household. And for once, I just like someone to take the lead, take the pressure off of me, and do some nice things for me, right?
Yeah.
Now, that being said, this is where that receiving comes in, is I hear women say that all the time, but then when it comes down to it, sometimes when the man takes the lead a little too much, it makes her feel a little uncomfortable. So it's about really relaxing into your feminine and being able to receive and allowing him to do that, right? So it's important, because I'll give an example. I had a friend, and every time a man would try to plan the first date, she would be like, she would have an issue with wherever he planned. Like, she didn't like it. Oh, I've been to that restaurant before. I don't want to go again. Or, oh, I don't like that type of food. I don't want to go. So she would always try, after he planned it, try to change the date. And that's where, you know, there's a lot of issues of being the strong, independent woman, but also control.
Yes, right? I was gonna say that, control. Yeah,
and that's masculine energy. It's also repelling energy if you want to attract the really strong, confident man, right? Is because a strong, confident man isn't going to follow you along like a puppy dog, right?
Right.
You didn't become that way, being that way. So it's important to be able to receive that. If that's truly what you want, it's important to allow the man to leave, allow the man to for space in the relationship so that you can be taken care of. I'm not saying controlling you, because that's not what I'm talking about, but allowing him to do things for you, right?
Right, right. So do you have any tips for women that just are used to being in that alpha role at work to just kind of flip the switch and go into feminine receive mode?
It's, you know, if you're very programmed and used to operating in the masculine, the doing mode, which I call, there's a big difference between doing and being. Doing is the masculine, being is the feminine energy. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so it's important, if you are that type of woman, a strong, independent woman who takes the lead at work or runs your own company, or you work in a male dominated industry like finance, it's important to really be able to take that mind shift after you leave work or leave your business, before you go out on a date, so that you can fully step into your feminine. And even if that means just changing your clothes, do not wear work clothes to the date.
Oh, I love that. That's
because
a great tip.
Wear something that you would never wear to work, so that you can fully step into your feminine, but have some sort of ritual where you can really leave your work personality at work. And so then when you come onto the date, you can really step into your feminine and allow him to open the door for you, pull out your chair, pay for the date. A lot of women get really uncomfortable when a man wants to pay for them on the first date because they're like, oh, you know, I'm going to owe him something. Or a lot of women sometimes say, I don't want him to think that means I'm going to have sex with them. No,
right.
That's not what it means. It's being able to receive and allowing him to pay for the date and saying thank you.
And I think that's kind of a part of the power struggle a little bit too, is, you know, we have such a notion as society that, you know, money equals power. And anytime there's a financial transaction or a financial exchange, we feel like we have to give something of equal value. And so I think it almost goes back to, you know, in the beginning when you were talking about a woman's self-worth and self-value is realizing that just her spending time with this man and sharing conversation and listening to him and receiving is value for if he would like to pick up the check for the time that you spend together. And seeing that her being in her feminine has value for that transaction. It doesn't have to be, no, I'll pick up the check so I don't owe you anything. That's a huge mind shift, especially for the powerful woman or the business owner. You know, a lot of your clients are that you work with that are in that mindset all day long.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say to people that, you know, what you do for a living is not who you are. A lot of women, we get that mixed up. We think that's our value and that's who we are. It's not who you are. If you were to leave your job, it doesn't mean your entire life obviously falls apart, right? But a lot of women, I put their identity in their work and they lead with that. When I used to be a matchmaker and dating coach in New York, I had a lot of women reach out to me saying, oh, you know, I just wanted to see if you have a match for me. And they would always, it's really funny, they would always lead with what they did for a living. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Men don't care. They don't. And I'm not saying that in a way that's, you know, condescending or I'm trying to think of the word, I'm at a loss for words, but men, when I used to matchmake, never said to me, Suzanne, I want a woman that's an attorney. No. They led with all the personal things of what they were looking for, that she was confident in herself. She was passionate. Mm. They don't care about what you do. They just want you to be passionate about it, right? So it's important for women to remember that your work does not define you. Your job does not define you. So it's important to remember that.
Wow. Yeah. It's, I love your idea. Just going back for a moment about the ritual from going from work to dating, and you suggested, you know, putting on a different outfit. I think there's something about tapping into like flipping the switch, something concrete, like concrete tips like that to get you out of that mindset. Are there any other tips that you have, like listening to certain music on the way home or anything else that helps you kind of get out of that giving mindset and into the receiving mindset?
Yeah, I would say two things. Is meditation is good, and that's different for everybody. Meditation is really good, but also I don't know about you, Monica, but I love dancing.
Yeah.
And so when I'm getting ready and doing my hair and makeup, I play music and you're going to laugh. I really do this. I dance in my bathroom while I'm getting ready.
All do that? Come on.
Yeah. And that just kind of puts you in the mood, right? And that's kind of more feminine energy and it's movement. So it's important for women to do those types of things.
So don't listen to CNN while you're putting your makeup on. Get some Madonna or something like that going on.
Yeah, put things into your mind that put you really in a good mood and in your feminine.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of wrapping up, is there anything else that women really kind of need to get over in order to get back out there? Things that you kind of come up across over and over again, especially with women who maybe haven't dated in 20, 30 years?
This is what I would say is stop thinking.
Yeah.
Stop thinking so much. And if you really are so afraid because you don't know what to do, get help and support. There's plenty of coaches out there that can give you the help and support that you need so that you don't waste time on the things that don't work, that can put you on the right path so that you get to your destination a little bit faster.
That's great. That's great. Wow, Suzanne, that was amazing. You gave some great tips and some great kind of concrete things that we can do when we're getting ready to get back out there. And I know for the ladies who maybe want to take a little bit deeper dive into today's topic, you've got a free online masterclass, The Secrets to Meet a Quality Man. Could you tell us a little bit more about that class and how women can register?
Yeah, so I run a free masterclass that you can register for. And I tell you, number one, the secrets to meeting a quality man, the things that work, the things that don't work. If you're doing online dating and you're going, Suzanne, that doesn't work, I share with you in this masterclass how to turn that around and start getting results. And it'll put you on the right track. So they can register for that by just click, if you're watching the video, just click on the video, the link at the end of the video or underneath the video. And if you're listening to the podcast, you can go to yournextamazingstory.com and it's at the very top of the homepage.
That's great, Suzanne. And thanks to everyone for watching. It's the Never Too Late Show. We're available in podcast and video cast format. And if you want to re-listen to this episode or you want to catch up on past episodes, you can catch us at yournextamazingstory.com. See you next time.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late Show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.